Margaret Cho is back with us. She is known for her politically aware humor and her activism on issues like gay rights and other things. And after a well-publicized run-in with the networks around her 1990s sitcom, All American Girl, she's got a new series coming up this summer, as well as her reality show on VH1. And here's another of her latest ventures. It's a pop song. I know I've been here before. The world is my stage. I've had so many hills to climb. I pick myself up off the floor. Every day was a test. I've been doing my best. Now I'm coming back for more. Coming back to the Brian Lehrer Show for more. Margaret Cho. Hi, Margaret.
Hi there.
Actress, comedian, belly dancer, activist. Where does music fit in?
Well, music is something that I thought is a good direction. I've been actually making music since 2003 as a hobby, and, you know, sometimes it kind of makes it into my stand-up shows. But I felt like because I was anticipating the political climate changing, you know, I've been very critical of the Bush administration for the last 8 years, and that's made up a lot of what I do as a comedian. And so then I thought, well, with the administration changing, a kind of a new start in history, I thought, well, there's some... I think way or some leeway for political comedians to have a little lightness, have a little fun, and so music is part of that.
So are you taking this seriously? I mean, how much Britney Spears, how much Weird Al Yankovic?
It's most, well, that the song that you played, I Chose a Woman, actually was a Britney Spears reject song. It was a song called Millennium Woman that she said, oh, I'm not going to do that. Which just makes me really, it's really funny that it would actually reject material. But this song I picked up off the floor, off of Britney's floor, and did it. And but the rest of it is very Weird Al Yankovic, who's actually one of my idols.
A lot of our listeners love you, Margaret. You're getting a lot of love on our comments page.
That's nice.
Here's just one that just came in from listener HJS, who wrote, Cho is the greatest, a prophet of our age. You're also writing protest songs, I hear. You did one after the Prop 8 vote in California that was so scathing about Mormons as a group that, honestly, we chose not to play it. But do you worry about pitting one misunderstood minority against another with something like that?
Yeah, I do, because it's not really about Mormons and it's not about any specific minority group. What it is about the culture of ignorance and this idea that people want to control other people's lives who they have nothing to do with. And so, to me, that ignorance is offensive, but it's also, you have to be sensitive to different groups. It's really hard to be political and be angry at something, but, you know, you want to have a progressive view and be inclusive. It's just, what do you do?
Yeah. And I know one of your heroes was Harvey Milk. You said he inspired you to become a performer. Are you as Sean Penn described the audience at the Oscars on Sunday night, are you a happy, home-loving commie?
I am a commie son of a gun.
Yeah, he said son of a gun, too, right?
Yes, so cute.
What'd you think of that acceptance speech?
I thought it was wonderful. I thought his performance as Harvey Milk was really incredible. I don't know how an actor can actually make his face look like the person. It's just incredible. And the story gave such a beautiful illumination to the story, which I knew very well. I mean, I grew up in San Francisco during that time, and Harvey Milk, when I was a child, was one of my big heroes, and so that was a wonderful film to really commemorate that part in history, that part of time. It was really, really wonderful.
Now, you were last on our show, some of our listeners may remember, during the Democratic Convention, and your man won. You may think him good for the country, but is Barack Obama bad for comedy? It looks like the late night folks are having a really hard time.
I know, it's hard to make fun of him because he's so fabulous. He's really, I mean, that was what was so great about the Bush administration. There were so many people to make fun of, and really, right now, that's why comedy is going to have to change, and it's going to have to find its way. But I'm so proud. I'm so proud that Barack Obama won, and I'm so happy to have been part of that campaign and to have been part of all of this.
Is the honeymoon over for some of the things that he's done or not at all?
I think he's doing great. I mean, I'm excited, and I'm just, You know, I wish that the press would focus more on how great he's doing and not so much on what Michelle is wearing. For some reason, everybody's obsessed with what she's wearing. I mean, I think she's beautiful and I think she's great, but she's also a great politician, too. So, you know, there's more to talk about there.
I noticed your latest blog post is a letter asking you to help get media attention or asking to help get media attention for a death penalty case. They're hoping to hire the publicist who got Marty Tankleff so much attention here in the New York area. So yeah. Evident isn't enough? You need a publicist to get out of jail?
I think so. I mean, in our age, this is what it's all about. It's a kind of a public spin on it. And this is a really important case. I mean, these kids have been in prison for so long over a crime they didn't commit, and it really is about judging people on the way they look and imagining that they are capable of these crimes because they have dyed black hair or listened to heavy metal music, and it's just very... It's really insane, and so I've been working on this case. I work with Damien Echols. I published his memoir, and he's developed so much as a writer. She's such an incredible person to have dealt with all of this. You know, he's been behind bars for now most of his life over something that he didn't do, and so I think our courts are very reluctant to admit when they were wrong, and this has got to be something they're able to do.
Comedian Margaret Cho, my guest on WNYC. Tell us about your new television series, Drop Dead Diva.
Drop Dead Diva, it's an incredible show. It's going to be on Lifetime, and it's a drama comedy, and it's really fantastical. It's about a beautiful, thin, blonde supermodel who gets in a terrible car accident and dies, and her soul transfers into the body of a brilliant lawyer who is much larger. So it's about how she has to learn how to be an overweight woman in this world after having a whole lifetime of being celebrated as a very thin blonde. And
wow.
So the show is very, it's really beautiful exploration of how we value certain looks in society. And so I play the lawyer's assistant, and it's a really cool part.
So you can be, you're telling us you can be funny while ripping the media for its dominant images of women and beauty.
Right. Which is great. I mean, I think it's a really beautiful show. I mean, when I read the pilot, I really just wept because I thought it was so true and so telling and beautiful and funny too. So it's a really great show. I think people will really love it, and I'm really in love with the cast, and it's really amazing.
Now, you had a real life experience with this when you did your first sitcom. You know, all this craziness back in the 90s over whether you were Asian enough or too Asian, the pressure to lose weight that I read caused you kidney failure. Did that happen?
Yes.
So remind our listeners about some of what happened there, and tell us if you think the TV industry has come a long way.
Well, when I was doing television in 1994, I had the first Asian American sitcom, All American Girl. It was like the first Asian American family on television, and the networks were constantly upset with me because they felt like I was too overweight to play the part of myself. And you know, I was such a young girl, and I had never thought about it because I was a comedian. I didn't think about the fact that I had to lose weight to play myself. And so anyway, I became very anorexic, and I ended up in the hospital because of complications from not eating, and it was pretty dire. I still have health problems from it. It's deadly. I feel like anorexia is really such a killer for young women, and you rarely do we survive. It's a terrible, terrible disease, and I think that in terms of the way that we view women's bodies, there's a consciousness around that people are more accepting and trying to be loving towards different kinds of bodies. But at the same time, you also have a culture, mostly online, that really criticizes women in a very brutal way. When you look at something like what happened to Jessica Simpson just a few weeks ago, Jessica Simpson, who is a completely beautiful woman, and, you know, people are talking about how she's fat, and I don't understand why they would say that, and it's just insane. And so I hate that young girls see stuff like that and they sort of judge themselves because of it. And But when I was doing television, you know, I lost all this weight. I was anorexic, and they canceled the show anyway and replaced it with Drew Carey's show because he's so thin.
Yeah, but he's a guy. He's a guy, so it's okay.
Right.
You're very into tattoos these days, aren't you?
I really love it. There's a lot of kind of implications with skin color. You know, when I tattoo myself, I feel like this incredible control where I can change the color of my skin and you know, essentially transcend race, which I find so amazing. And so I really love that art form. It's really hard though, because now I've run out of places to tattoo where you can't see. I like to hide them under my clothes generally, because I'm not like a real exhibitionist that way. So I don't want to have them show. And plus, you know, since I'm an actor, you know, you kind of have to hide them a little. So now I have no more space that's, you know, going to be visible.
You don't have to go any further than that. What's your favorite tattoo?
I think my favorite is I have a little derringer on my left thigh that's tucked into a garter belt thing. So I'm always wearing lingerie, and I always have a gun on me.
Are you an NRA member?
No, I don't believe in guns except for ones that you can draw on your body.
As a comedian, did you have a reaction to the New York Post cartoon with the chimpanzee?
Well, I mean, I just felt like it was just in poor taste, and I don't know. I have a lot of, I feel like free speech is very important, of course, always, but stuff like it just makes me nervous, you know. This freaks me out.
Yeah, so it's a little bit on both sides, because the cartoon was, I mean, everybody thinks it's racist. Democrats think it's racist. Republicans think it's racist. The white people think it's racist. The poll came out. Most white people think that cartoon was racist. But by the same token, do you cringe a little seeing Murdoch, the publisher of The Post, apologize for it?
Yeah. I mean, it's always, anytime race is addressed, everybody is awkward, you know. Like, when I was really kind of more connected to the Miley Cyrus incident, where she made slanty eyes behind an Asian guy, and everyone wrote a song about it. But to me, you know, there is such a lax, kind of relaxed attitude about racism towards Asian Americans, and that it was really terrifying, you know. I mean, it's so somehow very acceptable to make gestures like that, that she's making slanty eye face, you know, whatever. But that kind of thing is so dehumanizing, and it's really not addressed. That issue wasn't addressed enough, I thought.
I saw that photo, and it looked like the Asian guy didn't know that there were three people behind him who were all making Asian eyes.
Yeah.
It looked like he didn't know.
He didn't know. I don't think he knew. And I felt bad, and I felt like that's a familiar thing, you know, when you're Asian American, that sort of happens to you when you're kind of the only one, and it's just really demoralizing. And I felt I was offended because Miley Cyrus, even though she is a child, I mean, I'm trying to take that into consideration, too. Mm-hmm. She's just a kid.
Right.
So I can't really be that angry, but it's more that she never addressed it as a racist gesture.
Right.
That she said, it was a dumb face.
She went
it was stupid.
I heard that she went for sushi publicly as her penance.
Well, you know, I feel bad. You know, she is a child, and you don't want to be that angry at kids because they don't know. But at the same time, she is making so many of her fans think that that's acceptable.
I know you wrote that song to mock that incident, but I gather you haven't performed it anyway. You don't want to do 30 seconds for it on the way out, do you?
Oh, let's see. Miley Cyrus made chinky eyes standing behind an Asian guy. I don't know if this should fly, as if there wasn't enough to despise.
And we will leave it on that note.
Okay.
You can see Margaret Cho March 6th in Englewood, New Jersey at the Bergen Performing Arts Center. There's a link to ticket information on our website. Margaret, always great to have you on the show. Thanks for singing. That was great.
Oh, thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we continue our Creative Brown Bag Lunch Series. Post yours, and we've got a voting tool for this. We want to see what you think is the best brown bag lunch, creative brown bag lunch. Don't just tell me to open a can of salmon instead of tuna fish. At WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show.